If you have a value or a set of values that you really define yourself with, I call those aspirational values. Those are the values you tell people that you have. And shadow values are the ones that you actually control you. Look at your calendar. Look at what you spend your money on and what you spend your time on. That's how you know what you truly value. You say you value family. Where's the family?
Today, we are joined by Travis Murray, host of The Man in Progress, Forging Manhood. Travis is a father of four whose work explores marriage, fatherhood, mental health, identity, discipline, integrity, and the values men actually live by. Travis, welcome to Live Your Best Marriage.
Hey, thank you so much for having me today.
Yes. And Travis, many men say that their wife and children are the most important people in their lives. As you have said, when pressure hits, their family may experience a different man because they'll experience somebody who's very angry, silent, they'll be very defensive, and a lot of emotional distance. And your work challenges men to look beyond the values that they claim and examine their value that their behaviors actually. So today I want to talk about how a man, our family experience under pressure, and how those inherited ideas about manhood affect marriage and the realest responsibility and repair, how to repair all of that.
Yeah, like you said, a lot of times you have these men who believe that family is their highest core value. They want a family, they live that life, they're married, they have children maybe, they feel like they're living the dream that they finally were able to live. And things are good. Things go well. You put on your best face. You put on your best shoes. You dress up as nice as you can. But sooner or later, something tends to happen. And that is a man starts to negotiate with himself, letting boundaries go, letting things slide. And all of a sudden, that person, that same person that was married to that wonderful woman who enjoyed the presence of that man starts to slip, starts to change because they don't do the inner work required to keep that going. And so what I've been finding is that there's these shadow values that men tend to have, and it's all people, but in the work that I work with men, so there's these shadow values that these men tend to have underneath all of that. And so that's what brings that anger or that weirdness out that they might not even like.
Yes. So these shadow values, where do you really think they usually come from?
So shadow values are part of the default mode network that's in the head already. So as you are doing your day-to-day stuff, you're making decisions, and those decisions are based off thousands of micro decisions. So your brain has an automatic setting. And so you automatically choose this or you automatically do that, right? And so that DMN is ran completely off of your shadow value network. It's an operating system that you inherited from the people around you, the schools, your family, things of that nature. So that's where we're starting to see in the research that those shadow values actually come into play.
And in your past work, like you've spoken about how your work stress and like panic attacks and tensions in your marriage, you've spoken a lot about that. So what do you think at that time was happening, and what does that season in your life really revealed about you?
Looked back at that time quite a bit, and previous times, of course. But in that moment, when I was having those struggles, when I was really under that pressure to provide, to grow, to do better, to get promotions, give everything that I can to my family, I realized I was under the stress because I wasn't living a life I wanted. I was living a life I needed in order to keep up the appearances, keep up the health, keep up the happiness of everyone else around me. But I wasn't giving or paying attention to the values that I truly had within me and the ones I wanted. And so it came in the form of a, if you will, a pimple. It all came to a head and it exploded. And I was just having this anxiety of not being able to live the life I wanted to. The job forced me to change into somebody I didn't want to be. And then they changed the job into something I never even wanted. And then they made me work extra long. I was traveling for work. one and a half weeks a month. They changed it to 2 full weeks. They changed it to 3 weeks. Oh. And so I'm like, okay, 3 weeks away from my home, 1 week with my family. That's not what I want. And yes. I realized that was the case far too late. I was, yes. like I said, I was out traveling. I woke up in panic attacks. And there's a moment that I talk about. I literally had my phone in my hand. I was dialing 911 because I actually thought I was having a heart attack. I'm okay. like 30, 35, 36 years old, having a heart attack. I'm like, my weight was out of control. My health was not doing well. And then I was like, yeah, this is it. this is how I die alone in a hotel room.
And you've also mentioned how at that time your wife was also trying to help you to solve some of these problems, but you are, in a way, you are treating her like the enemy. So why do men experience that their wife concerns? Why do they experience them as criticism or as an attack?
So men are not taught to communicate. Men are not taught to drill down on an emotional level what their feelings that are involved in the conversation, hers, mine, your children's. We're not taught that. So growing up, I was taught, do the work, fix the issue, and move on. So when my wife would come to me and she's, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? And I'm like, oh, why are you attacking me? And that's how men feel. We're feeling attacked. And there's work out there that needs to be done. I'm not saying that I hold the entirety of the blame. I believe that if I had been in the right state of mind and done the work to understand what my wife actually needed, then she wouldn't have had to come at me in the way that she did.
Yes.
And if she had done the work, she would have talked to me in a more respectful tone as well. But you can't, it can't be one-sided. I can't go to my wife and say, if you start talking to me respectfully, I'll start doing the things you ask me to do. It just doesn't work that way. I had to do the work internally so that when she comes to me and says, hey, why didn't you take the trash out? I don't go, oh, we're under attack, fire back. Name all the things that you have been doing. Name all the things that she's been doing wrong, because that always helps.
You know what I mean? Actually, that makes it worse.
Yeah, that makes it way better, right?
Yeah.
And so I had to understand that what she's saying is, I'm overwhelmed. I'm doing a lot around the house. I'm not seeing you contribute as much as I would like.
Yes.
How can you help me with that by doing what you said you would do? And you know, once you start realizing that, you calm yourself down and you work from a place of your values, and then you can actually start communicating with your spouse a lot better.
Yes. And you've said something very important, because you're saying once she starts talking to you, in a way you calm yourself down. So if another man right now listening and they're like, okay, what should I do in the first few moments when my wife starts talking and I'm starting to get defensive? Are there any, I don't like the word hacks, but ideas that we can have when we can hear these words from our wives, we know what to do?
Yeah, fair enough. I would state you'd want to go before that moment and you'd want to write down, and I choose write down because it works a lot better than trying to remember. Write yes. down a couple of moments when that took place. Okay, my wife came at me this time for this reason. This is what I said. What would you like to have said? This. Yes. Okay, do that a few more times. Recognize a pattern and write down, how did your body feel, right?
Yes.
Did it feel tight? Did you feel numb? Did your thoughts explode a mile a minute? What is actually going on inside of your physiological form here that actually is happening? Because yes. once you recognize that, when that next moment hits, so they say there's fight, flight, or freeze,
yes.
right? Those are the three main ones that tend to happen in men. Yes. I was freezing up, but I was also wanting to fight.
Right.
And so in those moments, I realized, okay, I'm wanting to fight. Calm down. Take a breath. And then if it got too out of hand, I would say, hey, can you give me 5 minutes to just go for a quick walk and come back to this conversation yes. with a note that says, in 5 minutes, I will be back. Not yes. an undefined amount of time. Right. Hey, let's pause this. I'll come back to it in a few minutes. You put a time frame on it and come back yes. and talk.
So you're not like running away from the conversation. You're just giving yourself a few moments, process the whole thing, and then come back.
And once you realize what's going on in your body, that helps you. And you obviously communicate that too. I told my wife yes. one time, I'm like, hey, I'm feeling super overwhelmed and I want to fight with you on this. Yes. Give me, say, 5 minutes. I'm just going to go take a quick walk. I'll be back. I came back and I'm like, okay, so what you're saying is, why didn't you take the trash out? And the true honest answer was, I didn't put priority to it. And I didn't put priority to it because I really didn't want to do it. I thought it was the job of the kids who own the kitchen chores. And I was already busy doing my other stuff. So I thought, it's not my problem. So I put it off completely. Yes. And she went, what? Who are you? I'm like, I'll take the trash out right now. And I promise the next time you ask me to do something, I'll put a priority to it and get it done. And yes, I did. And so when you consistently start showing up like that, it calms the nerves of your wife. And she starts to feel safe with you. She starts to feel comfortable with you. And it helps those conversations.
This is very important. And even going back to what we had talked about earlier, about there are some things men say, they claim they have those values. I love my family and all that. But at the same time, what their family experience is something different. So if a man says, you know what, my family is my highest value. So what evidence should their wife and kids be able to point to that, you know what, dad really values us?
That one's pretty simple. If you have a value or a set of values that you really define yourself with, I call those aspirational values. Those are the values you tell people that you have, and shadow values are the ones that you actually control. You look at your calendar, look at what you spend your money on and what you spend your time on. That's how you know what you truly value. If you're a person who has a calendar that, and even if it's not written out, right? It's just one in your head that's, when I get home, I play my video games, I watch football, and then I grab a beer and I eat dinner, and then I go to bed. Okay, you say you value family. Where's the family? Insert family in there. Because for me, it's okay, when I go get my wife from work, because she's pregnant right now, we're having another baby.
Oh, so congratulations. Excited.
So I drive her, so I go pick her up, and then I make sure that I ask her about her day. We, in that little 10-minute drive, we talk, we view the scenery, we just kind of connect on that level. When we get home, we still talk, we make dinner together. Either I'll make it, or she make it, or we'll make it together, but we still talk. And then after dinner, on Mondays, we have family night. We play games, board games, card games, or just some stuff like that. And then we have set days where I'll take my son out and she'll stay in with our daughter. And then the next, at another point in that week, we'll rotate. Yes. And so we put those in the calendar so that those are our values. We can see them. We can see what we're spending our money on, what we're saving for, what we're doing. And that's one way you can really tell what your values really are.
Yes. And it's, I like the way you're saying that we put them on the calendar, because so not only do you see what your values are, also your family sees what the values are. And if you miss, let's say you miss taking your son somewhere, because it's in the calendar, everybody knows. It's not like something that you're just thinking about it. No, it's out in the open. He knows I'm going out with dad. And then if something comes up and you put something else of to be a higher priority than spending time with my son, it's clear that you made a change.
Yep.
Yes. And that's, I like the fact that you actually, you are, they know about it and it's on the calendar. So it's not a secret.
Yeah. And that's what, that helps it be defined too. So when I go look at my calendar and I'm like, okay, I want to do a coaching session with such and such, or I want to do a podcast interview with such and such. Okay, I'm supposed to be doing this with my son. So that's completely off the table. I will schedule around that.
Perfect. And now, so it's because, and I think your family will also see that you become a different man, because before with your story, when you are they added 1.5 weeks, 3 weeks, being away from your family, at that time, I feel like you did not have it defined that I want to spend X amount of time with my family. So when your boss said, we're going to add 2 more weeks to be away from your family, you still said yes, because it wasn't very defined that this is my family time.
That's correct. It was part of a people-pleasing tendency that I tended to have. And it wasn't until later when my boss was like, all right, now we need to expand and do this, that I was like, no. And he was like, that you don't get to say no. And I'm like, yeah, I do. And he was like, that's weird. I'm like, so I'm going to need to talk to, he was like, why didn't the higher ups are the ones doing this? So I said, get him on the phone. And they brought him on the phone. And I was like, all right, I'm putting my 2 weeks in.
Wow.
Because they wouldn't change. And I was done. I was having panic attacks. I was not thriving the way I wanted to. I was constantly in that stress state. I'm like, I can't sell the product that you want me to while also conflicting with myself that I don't want to be here.
And this is very important because many men, we are taught to be good, that being good husbands means working hard, which you are doing, paying the bills, which you are doing, taking care of the family financially, which you are doing, but that emotional presence, being there with your family, wasn't there. And you had to realize that way too late. Yes. So if a man comes and says, you know what, I like what you're saying, but I still need to pay the bills, what will you say?
Yeah. So I would say stick it out, right? Do the work. Figure out what it is you want to do. Figure out what you value. That takes time. It took me, I'm still in the process of doing this.
Yes.
It's been over a year now. And I'm still in the process of figuring out. I finally figured out what I wanted to do, say a month, maybe 2 months ago, where I'm like, I enjoy teaching. I enjoy training. I enjoy helping people. So what does that line up? I want to be a coach. I want to help people figure out, especially in relationships, their values, what they value, how to live those values, how to communicate better with their spouses or their children. So I help dads and husbands realign themselves with their true values. And that's what I do. And so that's what helps me figure out, as far as everything goes, that keeps my value system in check and calm. So I'm not saying go quit your job because you're under stress. What I'm saying is check yourself.
Okay.
Check what you value. Check where you spend your time, where you spend your money, and then analyze those values.
Yes.
Do I want these values? Are they inherited from my parents, from my school, from my college? Where did I get these values? And then look at them and go, do I want to change these values? Do I want to live by these values? Because that's where we start to see a connection in happiness and the DMN network that's in our brains. So there's a lot of these connection pieces that we missed because we didn't have people doing the research at the time or whatever it might be. But figure that out. And it's going to take you a couple months. And so keep providing, keep doing what you can so that you're thriving in that way. Reassess what you want and then make a change. Now, if you have a good partnership like I do with my wife, I quit my job to start a business, to start this podcast that I was doing and still doing. And she took on the financial side of that, but I took on the home side. So I took that off of her plate. I run the kids around. I do all the stay-at-home dad stuff, but I'm also still running a business.
And in different seasons, because it's a team, as a couple, it's a team. In different seasons, it might mean somebody else will have to pick up the slack on another area. Because I also, we see other couples who, it's not just about quitting a job. Maybe they have one who's having so much anxiety, they cannot leave the house. So that means one will also not only help taking care of them at home, but also go and provide financially. We have some with sickness, like fibromyalgia and things like that, where they're just in so much pain, they can't physically work.
Right.
But you are married and you are also stepping up as a man to do both, making sure things are provided, but at the same time, pay the bills and taking care of your wife. So now I wanted to go back to this concept of apology and versus repair. What's the difference between saying, you know what, I'm sorry, and actually becoming the man that actually changes and repairs the damage?
Yeah, so it's quite simple, right? If your wife is upset with you, she notices that you're not helping around the house as much as she would like, you're not fixing the things you said you would fix, her vision of you, her actual sight of what you're doing here is diminishing. And so apologizing isn't going to do anything, right? For instance, you've got a pool, right? And you go up to the pool and you poke a hole in it and the pool says, I'm sorry, it still leaks. Right?
Yep.
It's still
going
to keep leaking. It's not going to say, I'm sorry, and then magically is patched, right?
They
it's the same concept with an apology. If you're going to make an apology, isn't just words. A true apology isn't just words. So your wife says, hey, you said you were going to XYZ. You have not been doing that. And you apologize by taking accountability, by saying, I understand how this is affecting you, yes. Right? I promise you, I'm going to make some changes and prioritize the things that you ask me to do. It doesn't mean jack diddly squat if you don't follow through and finish the apology. That's part of the apology. Yes. It's maybe 25% of it. The other yes. 75% of the apology is the follow through. What happens after?
Yes.
People don't realize that when you're taught what an apology is by your parents, when they say sorry. Okay, I said sorry, it's over. That's not how it works. You say sorry, right? You acknowledge the pain that you gave the other person. And the other thing with an apology is it doesn't mean you're bad. No. Because you have to apologize doesn't mean you're bad. It means you affected somebody in a negative way for them. Maybe you broke one of their boundaries or one of their rules. Okay. So you apologize. It doesn't mean you're wrong. It doesn't mean you're bad. It doesn't mean you can't be fixed. There's no need to shame yourself for those things. You just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that affected you. I understand now how that affected you. And going forward, because I understand now how that affected you, I'm not going to XYZ. Now, of course, if XYZ is something that you do regularly, then you have to make an assumption, or not an assumption, an assessment of whether or not that person is crossing a boundary for you. And you need to hold strong on that and say, no, this is what I do. If you don't like it, then we need to compromise, and maybe not even compromise. We need to figure out if our relationship is worth sticking it out. Yes. Now, if it's something as simple as I watch football on Sundays every Sunday and your wife's, I want to go out on Sundays. Okay. You can record the game. It's not that serious. But if it's something super serious to you, right? Like maybe you host a group for your friends and their children, their sons, right? It's a men's group or something like that that you host, and your wife's, no, I don't want you to do that. I'm doing it. Yes. Like you're just going to have to get over that.
And the thing is that what I like about your frameworks, it's there's different levels. So maybe many years ago, the issue that you had to grow to was, can I even tell my boss that I cannot continue doing this? But later on, maybe the next level is, can I even tell my wife that I'm pausing now, I need to take a walk. So I think as you are constantly growing, you will even get to a point that you can even be able to, that something that at the moment it feels like impossible. Because there's a lot of stories about couples who have done things which I was like, I don't think that I would have been able to deal with that. But they find a way to make it work.
Yeah.
I guess you get to another level of awareness or something, and you get to be able to deal with it.
You do get to another level of awareness. When you're building the values that drive your operating system, I do the forge as a theme. It's like building a sword, right? You have the sword. The sword needs to be sharp in order to be effective. But just because it's sharp doesn't mean you can't guard yourself from getting hurt by it or hurting other people by it, right? Yes. You have a sheath that protects you and other people. You have a guard that protects you and other people. Those are boundaries. You have to have boundaries around the things that you love and care for. And if you don't have boundaries, what good is a sword? You're just going to start hurting everybody.
Yeah. And I like your sword framework. So can you give us like how we can apply it in our life? Let's say I feel like work is getting the best of me. Like, for example, let's say my wife is saying, you know what? I feel like your work is getting the best of you, and we get whatever is left. So how can a husband use the sword framework instead of immediately starting to defend themselves?
Yeah. So in order to use the sword framework, you got to start off with the knowledge, seeking the truth of your values, seeing what you actually value, right? And then, so once you seek the truth, you understand, okay, I'm upset with this. I don't like this, whatever this is, right? You need to witness yourself. And so you have to witness what it is that you're doing, how your body reacts, all the things in line with that stuff. And so it just goes down the line of that work so that you can assess the values, right? Yes. Redefine all of the inner workings of your value system, and then lead that with your determination, with your dedication, that you're going to be that person, and you have a value system completely written out for you so that when it comes to those things, you and your brain will do this automatically at times. Yeah. Once you start living by your value system, your brain will start to redefine how you respond to people. So when your boss says, I need you to stay for 3 weeks, no, I have a family at home I want to get back to. I'm going to go back to them. That wasn't what we discussed when you first hired me. If that is that you, something you need, I think you need to hire somebody else to fill that role.
Yes.
And then the problem is people are too afraid to do that because the system likes to keep unemployment at a certain degree so that businesses thrive and they can find people and hire people. I understand business quite well. I've done a lot of business classes and assessments in that way. And they like to keep a good level because if people were needed as much as people would like to be needed, then people get to determine what they're paid, what they're worth, and how the value is. But right now, unemployment is high, so companies get to decide what the people are paid and what they're worth and what the job is worth. And so once you start aligning yourself with those, if more people have those boundaries and set those aside and said, hey, look, I'm not doing that, the company would be forced to hire more people, pay more, do other things in that way. So if we can get everyone on board, we can start making real change.
Changes, yes. So when you come to the legacy, like, what do you want children to learn about? For example, how do you hope your 4 children will experience from you and to learn about being a dad because of your actions now, especially how you handle your stress, your conflict, and also how you correct them?
Yeah, so legacy for me is what we pass down, right? And so that's exactly what I want. I want to be able to pass down the values that I have into my children, but also I want to show them a framework. I want to show them life can be different based off of what they enjoy and what they like. So I'm going to teach my children to have a value system that they can operate from so that they can go off into the world and be good human beings and be kind human beings to the people around them. So for me, that's what legacy is. It's what we leave to our children. And so teaching them right now how to communicate, how to apologize, how to build boundaries, how to stay with those boundaries so that people don't cross them, what to do if people do cross them. And that way they can live that life in that way that is meaningful to them. Because I'll tell you, my friend, ever since I started doing this over a year ago, I haven't been ill. I haven't been sick physically. Wow. And that's been a relief because the stress is, the research shows that the more stress a person has, the sicker they can get.
Yes.
And so when I was at peak stress, when I got sick, my wife would call it the man cold because I'd be down for a week.
Why?
A common cold or the flu, and I'd be down for a week. Yes. My body just wouldn't get up. I was coughing, sneezing, throwing up, all the bad stuff. And I just couldn't do anything. But now that I've been living a life aligned more with the values that I have and doing the things that align with those values and my business and my family, I haven't been sick.
And that's something very important because we don't even think about the health benefits of being aligned and living your values. We just think about it's something abstract, but we don't think it physically will affect me in terms of my health.
Yeah. If you think of this as a Christian standpoint, I like to think of it as the blessing that the Catholics do, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, right? The mind, the body, and the soul. Okay. If you heal those things and they become in sync, you live such a more beautiful life and such a better life.
Yes. So what would you tell a man right now who's listening to us, and he's realizing that his family has been receiving that angry side of him, that stonewalling, the absent, the defensive, and just the tired version of him. So what should he do tonight to start changing the process?
Yeah, what I would say is shameless plug here. Go listen to the Man in Progress Forging Manhood podcast hosted by Travis Murray. But other than that, I would say you have to, you have to not shame yourself.
Yes.
Don't think of a guilty standpoint of I'm wrong, I'm bad, I suck, I'm terrible. Don't spiral in that way if you can help it. And if you are spiraling, try to build yourself some anchor points where you can grab onto something and pull yourself out of that spiral because it's not going to help you. It's not going to help your family. It's not going to change anything. What will change something is doing the work. realizing it is part of that situation. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to yell. I don't want to build pressure like a storm inside my home. I don't want to do that anymore. Okay. Yes. So now you've realized that, but you have a place you can go. You can stay here with this podcast and learn with other guests that come on the show and with the host himself. And that's a great thing to do. You have other resources out there. I've named one before as my podcast as well. Check it out.
In progress.
But in that sense, you have those resources. Start doing the work today. Don't tell yourself tomorrow, because there's an old adage, right? There's an old saying that's tomorrow will never come.
Yep.
So start today.
Start today. Okay, I like that. So in closing, and when your children are grown, what kind of man do you want them to say that this is what we experienced about our dad?
Yeah, so I want my children to say, my dad never gave up, right? He always wanted to learn. He always wanted to do better. And so he kept doing the work and he kept being better one day at a time.
Man, I like that. So where can listeners follow you and learn more about your work, especially the SWOD framework?
Yeah, so all my frameworks and all that stuff are going to be on my podcast, which you can locate on Apple, Spotify, Overcast, or even on YouTube. And if you want to check me out on YouTube, that's at Travis Murray Progress. It's that simple. You can come check it out, say hi, tell me that you came from this podcast here, and I'll say thank you.
Thank you very much, Travis. I really enjoyed talking with you and learning a lot and just putting a different perspective in how we relate to our kids, and also putting a long-term view. So it's not just what am I doing tonight, but what will my kids talk about me when they are grown? That's just a different perspective to think about.
It is.
Yes.
Thank you for having me on the show. It's been a pleasure to speak with you. You are a gracious host.
Thank you very much. Hey guys, until next time, well, bye and God bless.